Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Mem Ches. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Huna Taluya V'Zavin. If somebody was forced to sell something until he ultimately agreed to sell what he was being forced into selling, the halacha is v'yuna z'vune. The sale is considered a valid sale. Because explains the Gemara, called a mazman inish, whatever someone sells, Ilav, the honest, whenever we sell something, the only reason, suggests the Gemara, we're selling it is because we're forced. We need to have finances to be able to continue living. So we're selling it because we need the money. And we're selling it, and still, of course, a filacha, Ilav, the honest, lay have a mazman. If he wasn't forced to sell, he would never sell. But filacha, zvine, zvine, the sale is considered a valid sale. So as we said a moment ago, the Rishonim suggest it doesn't make a difference what type of a sale he was forced to do. Whether he was forced to do it because of financial duress, or whether he was forced to do it because of other types of duress, the sale is considered a valid sale. Says the Rashbam that an important element in discussing this halacha is that the person got paid. As the Gemara said, whenever you sell something, you don't really want to sell it, but it's considered a valid sale because you needed the money. So here too, if you sell something, as long as you got paid, then the halacha is that Rav Huna is teaching us it's a valid sale. Rabbeinu Yoina says, even a bigger chiddush, he says that even if a forced sale took place when the person sold his property at a reduced price, below the market value, it's still the sale is considered a valid sale. The Ritva disagrees and holds that a forced sale is only valid if the reseller receives full payment. But if he gets underpaid for the property sold, it's considered like he was forced to give a gift. And as we will be discussing in Mitzvah Shem, although we're learning that a forced sale is a sale, a forced gift is not considered a gift. The Beis Yosef says that this also seems to be the opinion of the Rashbam, because the Rashbam says that a forced consent is because the seller, as we explained, the Rashbam said, the seller is receiving payment, and therefore he's not losing anything. So says the Ritva, says the Beis Yosef, it seems, what is the Rashbam telling us? It's only because he has no financial loss with this sale. Seemingly, if he's selling it less than it's worth, then the Rashbam would agree that it's not a valid sale. The Rambam, so we spoke about discussing what kind of force was it. Was it some physical force or financial force? So the Rambam says if somebody physically forces someone to sell his property, the person who is forcing the sale is over the lav of loy sachmoid. And he says that the issa of loy sachmoid is that it's an issa to verbally pressure someone into selling his property. The Raiva disagrees, and he says that the issa of loy sachmoid only applies when somebody forcibly seizes somebody else's property without getting consent. And even though, since he didn't get paid, even if we follow the opinion of Huna, of Taluya V'Zavin Zvina Zvina, that a forced sale is a sale, that type of a sale, has to be returned, since if at the end he pays for what he took, he's going to be over Loi Sachmoid, not Loi Sigzel. And says the Magen Mishnah, that the basis for Rava's position is because Rava, famous opinion of Rava Masechta Temur Daftalar on the base, that says, anything that the Torah tells us not to do, if I did it, doesn't have any legal standing. So he says, if the Pasuk of Loi Sachmoid tells us that we're not allowed to pressure somebody into selling me his property, so then the sale, if that's a violation of Loi Sachmoid, then the whole sale should be invalid because he offered Lemahani. The fact that Rav Huna validates a coerced sale that indicates that it's not something that's osur midaraisa. It's not something that's osur midaraisa, and therefore the halacha is that it's only loisachman. So, as we just discussed, the halacha is very clear in perhaps differentiating between a financial pressure or other type of pressure. The Trumas Hadeshin, as we've mentioned previously in our shiurim, the halacha is that if somebody misses davening ba'oinus, a tefillah ba'oinus, he can make it up for the next tefillah. And the question is, if something happened beyond one's control, that he couldn't daven the tefillah he was supposed to daven, that's an oinus. What's the halacha if somebody missed a tefillah because of a financial situation? He was in the middle of a business deal, and that's why he missed the tefillah. Is that called an oinus? And Trumas Hadeshin says that that too is considered an oinus, and that's the halacha as quoted, as taught us in Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Ches Sif Ches. And the Mishnah Berura quoting the Chaya Adam, he says that any type of a business situation is considered an oinus that you can make it up with the next tefillah. The Klaus Magareba in the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yatzev Chelik Yerideya Simen Kuf Nun Beis brings a raya to the opinion of the Trumas Hadeshin from our Gemara. He says our Gemara just said that somebody who is under financial pressure, why does somebody sell something? Because he's under financial pressure. And the Gemara is calling that a oinus. So we see from here that being under financial pressure is considered an oinus, and therefore would be considered a legitimate situation if you miss a tefillah, you can make it up. Ramosha, the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe Or Chaim Chelik Dalad Simon Beis discusses with somebody is interviewing for a job, but the job that he's interviewing for, he may not wear a yarmulke. So the question is that considered a situation of oinus that he has a heter not to take the job and not wear yarmulke? So Rav Moshe says, based on what we're learning and the concept that we're learning, that indeed that might be considered a situation of an oinus. But Rav Moshe says that one has to consider why, when he doesn't wear a yarmulke, is it just because people are uncomfortable? Or is the way to understand somebody now wearing a yarmulke is because it's a violation of v'chukaseim le'selechu? And if it's a violation of v'chukaseim le'selechu, then of course Rav Moshe says there would be no heter to take the job and not wear the yarmulke. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that Pei Chesam and Aleph, teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to receive the Torah. And the Gemara says that the Umas HaOlam say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Kafisa Leinu HaKegigas. If you would have forced us, then we would also have accepted the Torah. So it seems that if they would have been forced, then they maybe would have received the Torah. But the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael has a Maidor Rabba L'Raisa. They have a right to say that we were forced to accept the Torah. And the question is, why is that a valid claim? We just learned in our Gemara that Taluyah V'Zovin, Zvini Zvini. If you're forced to accept a deal, the halacha is that it's considered a valid deal. So why over here is, if we're forced to accept the Torah, yes, we were forced into it, but why is it not considered a valid deal? So the Sefer period, a Sefer that was written by the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Kanzfried, explains, why is the halacha that Teluya V'Zovin Zvina Zvina? He says, because when somebody says to somebody else, I'm forcing you to sell, and as we've learned a few moments ago, and the person sells, and he gets paid for what he sold. So all we could do is see what we see. And what we see here is that there was a sale, a seller, a buyer, and the buyer paid the seller. To know what's doing in someone's heart, that this person really didn't want to sell it, he was forced, we have no way of knowing what's doing in anyone's heart. Says Da Pirion, that's when we're speaking about human beings. So when you and I are working with each other, are talking to each other, I don't really know what your heart is. And if I see that the sale was done, that's all that I have to be thinking about. However, says the Pirion, who is the one that gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is the Yodei HaMachshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does know what's in our heart. And he knows that we received the Torah under duress. And therefore, the Gemara says that our receiving the Torah, we could say Medar Rabbah, that was something we were forced into. The Pasuk says, the Sefer Likutei Yehuda says that Avram Avinu, when he bought the Maris Machpelah from Ephraim, the Pasuk says, V'yitin lois Maris Machpelah, the Kesef Moli Itnanali, V'yishma Avram is Ephraim V'yishkoil. So the Sefer Likutei Yehuda says, why was Avram Avinu adamant not to take the Maris Machpelah as a gift from Ephraim? It seems that Ephraim was being very generous. He was offering him a gift. And Avram Avinu is adamant that he's going to pay for it. But, so he explains, as we've been saying, there's a difference in halacha between a gift that's given under duress, versus a sale that's done under duress. And as we're learning, a sale that's done under duress is considered a valid sale. A gift that's given under duress was not considered valid. So Avram Avinu understood that if he's going to take it as a gift, then Ephraim will be able to turn around and say it was forced. So Avram Avinu bekesef mole, Avram Avinu paid full price for it. By paying full price, he prevented Ephraim from being able to ever say, that this was done as a gift under duress. And that's why the Gemara says that he paid full price. Says the Gemara. Medoma. So we're saying that since every sale is really done under pressure and still considered a valid sale, that's why if somebody is forced into a sale, it should be a valid sale. Ask the Gemara, V'demol shani unzer d'nafshi unzer d'achrini. When I feel that I have to sell something to raise money, ask the Gemara, it should be considered very different when I'm being forced by somebody else to sell it. Ella, says the Gemara, the reason why a forced sale is considered a valid sale, Kiritanya. The Pasuk says, by bringing a carbon, says the Pasuk, Zocha Tami Yakrivenu al Pesach Oil Moid Yakriv Oisai. And the words Yakriv Oisai are superfluous. It would have been sufficient that the Pasuk should say Yakrivenu. Melamed, from here we see Shekhaifen Oisai, that we forced the person who brought the carbon to bring it. Yochab al Karchai. So maybe it should be done even against his will, tamalayim l'ritzonai. It has to be something that he's doing willingly. So ask the Gemara, okay, it said, how do we do that? It says the Gemara, kaifnai soi ashi yoitzani. Until the person says, I'm willing to do it, then it's considered. So we see that if somebody's forced into it, it's considered a valid sale. So ask Taisus. So we've just been learning throughout our shiur that if you're forced to give a gift, it's not something, it's valid. But why? We're learning from here, as soon as you say roitzani, that's good enough. So Taisus answers that anything that I have to do, I want to really do. And the basis, I think, that many Rishonim use in being able to understand this Gemara is the famous Rambam. The Rambam says that really every Jew as anxious to do what is right. What happens sometimes is there are things that get in the way. There are things that get in the way. So, Kaifer Isai, to get the Yetzirah out of the way. So therefore, explains Tosfos, in this case, the person is obligated to bring a carbon. He donated a carbon, and he's obligated to bring the carbon. Since he's obligated to bring the carbon, we only have to take what is in the way and get it, the Yetzirah that's in the way, that's telling him not to bring the carbon, to get him to bring the carbon. Whereas, in a situation where I'm not obligated to do it, I'm not obligated to give you a gift. So in a situation where I am not obligated to give you a gift, there it's entirely different. And there the halacha will be that I have to really be willing to do it. And if I'm not willing to do it, then we don't just say that he has to do it. So Tosfos asked that the Gemara Masechet Bava Kamma, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, teaches us that Chai v'chatas v'av shamas, if somebody's mechui v'karben chatas or karben asham, eim emashkenai, so we don't force them to pay, Bezdin doesn't force them. And because the Gemara explains that they come for kapara, and therefore we don't have to force them. So why over here are we forcing? So Tosfos answers that if somebody did an aveir for which he has to bring a karben chatas, a karben asham, the person wants to have that kapara. And therefore, Bezdin doesn't need to get involved to force him to bring the carbon. He on his own is anxious to bring the carbon. Our Gemara, however, is referring to an individual who donated a carbon oila, carbon asham, and it's not the kind of carbon that you're obligated to bring. So now he may not want to bring the carbon, and that's why Kaifan I say. So Tosfos asks another question. The Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav Amud Aleph says that kol mitzvos asay, for any mitzvos asay, kaifen asay, we force him to fulfill the mitzvah. Or makan asay, achetetz nafshu, we keep on forcing him to do the mitzvah. So why do we need a special pasuk by a carbon? So the Taras Chaim says that the pasuk is coming to teach us that yes, that just like by every mitzvah, we force a person that's obligated to do the mitzvah to do it. But says the Taras Chaim, we don't need him to say Raitzani. We don't need him to agree to do it. He has to do the mitzvah, and we could force him to do the mitzvah. But here, since the Torah uses the word L'Ritzonai, so since the Torah uses the word L'Ritzonai, we have to force him, but we have to also hear from him that he should say Raitzani, that he should say, he should want to do it. And therefore, the halacha is, that's why the Torah had a single out kabbonis. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that by all kabbonis, by all mitzvahs, the person is forced to do the mitzvah, and then he does the mitzvah himself. Whereas, by this carbon, by this, he's forced to bring the carbon, but he's actually not going to be the one to be mark of the carbon. The Kehanim are going to be those that are mark of the carbon. And therefore, it's different by all other Kabbonis. The Kais Yeshua says that the reason it's different is because it's a nether and a dover. The carbon oil, the carbon shlam that we're speaking about, are something which is a donation. And therefore, we would think that being forced is the opposite of a donation. The definition of a donation is the definition of a donation is that I'm doing it willingly. Here I'm not doing it willingly, so it can't be considered a valid carbon. That's why the Torah tells us that it's still considered a valid carbon. I saw, as we mentioned before, that the halacha is that kaifen I say that at shayami roitzani, and we also mentioned the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that teaches us that Klal Yisrael was forced to receive the Torah. And the Chasam Sofer explains that why isn't that really considered kfiya, as we quoted the Rambam, because every Jew really wants to do what's right. So sometimes the Yetzirah blocks what I want to do. So the Klozmug Rebbe in the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yatzev Evan Ezra Simon Samach says that there's a minig in many communities that on Shavuos they eat kreplach. Kreplach is cheese covered by dough. Why do we eat that type of a food on Shavuos? He says because that's exactly what we just learned happened. In the inside of every Jew, in his heart, he wanted to do a kabbal the Torah. That's the cheese inside the krepel. But on the outside, there was something blocking. The dough blocked what's inside. And to recall that, we eat kreplach on Shavuos. I saw from the Sefer Imrei Noyim, as we're learning now, that there are all sorts of circumstances that block us from doing mitzvahs. But as we're also learning, every Jew wants to do what's right. So he says that before a Jew does a mitzvah, and he gets concerned that there are things that are going to interrupt him and block him from doing the mitzvah, what he should say is, Roitzani, and that's why many places they have a minig that they say L'Shem Yichud before they do a mitzvah. What is the purpose of saying the L'Shem Yichud before you do a mitzvah? What you're trying to do with that L'Shem Yichud is saying that I really want to do what's right. And just there's things that are getting in the way, and the L'Shem Yichud is a declaration, I'm not going to let them get in the way. The Mefarshim continue discussing this halacha of Kofer Esa'at Yoyim Meroitzani. The Beis Halevi says that the Gemara teaches us, Lo'ilam Yasek Adam B'Torah Shloi L'Shma. A person should learn Torah even Shloi L'Shma. Shemetok Shloi L'Shma, Ba'al L'Shma. So he says, what does it mean that we should learn Torah Shloi L'Shma? That's not the type of Torah Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to learn. He says, but we're learning from here that when you do something Shloi L'Shma, and you're doing it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know that's what you really want to do. And therefore, the halacha is, B'toch Shaloi L'Shma, we're going to come to that's going to bring out what we really are. The Ksav Sofer says that, as we're learning, that by carbon oil, you bring the carbon, and Kofer HaSayat Shiyam HaRaitzani. And he says that we know that the carbon oil is not mechaper for any aveira that was done. The carbon oil is mechaper for somebody who had haruhure aveira. But the Gemara Masechet Yuma Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph teaches us haruhure aveira, thinking about doing an aveira is kashin mia aveira. Because somebody who thinks about an aveira, he's doing it with his mind. And therefore, he's doing it with his mind. So what we have to work is with his mind, and that he should say, Roitzani, that he should be able to say that the Hirhurim that brought me to the Averis are no longer here. The Yisbach Moshe says that only by Klal Yisrael, who now we can understand, says the Yisbach Moshe, the answer to the question that we mentioned earlier, that the Umas Olam have a complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you force us to receive the Torah? So says the Yisrach Moshe, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose in doing what he did? Kofer said that he forced us to receive the Torah. Explains the Yisrach Moshe based on the Rambam. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized and knew that every Jew in the depth of his heart is really interested in doing what's right. The Yetzer Hara gets in the way. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to let our true being, our true intention come forth. But the Akum, they don't have that nature that in the depths of the heart they do what's right. And since they don't have that depth, that situation that he said that he wants to do what's right, forcing them would have not accomplished anything. The Sefer Bikurei Aviv says that what is pshat a kofer isai, atcher omer writes ani. He says that a person who does something wrong recognizes what he's doing is wrong. And since he recognizes what he's doing is wrong, so when he starts thinking about it, he's going to regret what he did. But a person who doesn't realize what he did is wrong, so then he doesn't ever change. And therefore, you have to say roitzani. You have to recognize that what you did is wrong. And once you come to the recognition that what you did is wrong, then you will be on the, then you're going to be on the right track. But ask the Gemara, so we see this concept of being forced. But ask the Gemara, how can we bring a raya from a carbon? The situation by a carbon is different. The nichle, they'll have a kapara. The person wants to have a kapara. So that's why urging him to do what's right is so critical. Says the Gemara, let me say for. The right, where do we know that being, doing something under duress is valid? From what it says there in the Sefer. Kainat ha'omer, b'shkite noshim. If somebody was forced to give a get because she was married to a mukashchin. A mukashchin is a person who is diseased. And such a person, a wife can't remain with him. We could force him to give a get. How does that get work? Kaifin I say, we force him to give the get at Shemirait Sani. So we see something done under duress is fine. Says the Gemara, the Dilma Shani Hassam. Again, there it's different because we're learning in our Shia that whenever what you're doing involves a mitzvah, then it's a whole different conversation. So says the Gemara, but Dilma Shani Hassam, that is a different situation because mitzvah l'shmai devei chachamim. There's a mitzvah to do what the chachamim say, and the chachamim said to us that this is a marriage that should be terminated. But how do we know that that's the halacha in other situations where there is no mitzvah involved? Says the Gemara al Sfora. We go back to a Sfora. Why is Taluya Vizavin Zvina? Because Agav Unsei, yes, he was forced into it, but once he was forced into it, Gomra Makna, he's willing to do it. So now is a question. If we're learning now that when you're forced into doing something, even though maybe you didn't want to do it, the halacha recognizes that you have to do it. So why, as Tosfos, do we have to have a special pasuk as we've been learning by Karbonis? As long as we're learning that if you're forced into doing something, that's adequate. So that should be adequate by the carbon. If you were forced to bring the carbon should be fine. So Tosfos answers that we would think that a carbon is different than anything else. A carbon that was brought under duress, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Zevach Rishoyim Teva, carbon brought by Rishoyim, is something that's disgusting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we would think, yes, if somebody does something under duress, halachically it's considered valid. But maybe that's not what the Torah for a carbon should consider good enough. Teaches us the pasuk that even by a carbon, if you were forced to bring the carbon, but ultimately you said roitzani, then the halacha is that it's considered that a fine carbon, and that's why we have to have a special pasuk by a carbon. Masa Rav Yehuda. So asks Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah in Masechet Gittin da Pei Ches Omebeis speaks about a get meusa. A get meusa is a get that a husband was forced to give the get. So the halacha is the Yisrael. If the get was given under force from Dayanim, and their husband ultimately said, I'm willing to give the get, the loch is kosher, the get's a valid kosher. But a get that was given by Ovde Kachavim under duress, it was forced by non-Jewish officials as possible. Or by Ovde Kachavim, but if the Yisraelim want to use Nochrim to force the Yisrael to give the get, Chavdin I say, they Akum could be used to exert pressure, but what they're supposed to say, v'oimrim loy, in other words, if the Dayan and Yisrael don't have the ability to get this person to do what's right, what they do is they take the Akum and they tell the Akum to tell this individual, oimrim loy, asay mash Yisrael oimalach. But ask the Gemara, Why is the get posel? Hasan nami neima. Yes, he was forced by the non-Jewish thugs to give the get. But why don't we say agav onse? Once he was forced, he did it. Gomer Garish, it should be considered a valid get. Answers the Gemara. Hayet malo. Amar Mishansha. Indeed, explaining that Mishnah of Shansha teaches us the dvar Torah, the midaraisa afilu b'av the kacham kosher. Indeed, if it was done under duress from Nachrim, it's a kosher get. So if the question is, Matam Amru, by the Chacham Posel, why are we learning that if it was done under duress from the Akum, it's Posel? For a whole different reason. A woman who's anxious to get a get is going to get a Nachri to have an adulterous relationship with her, and then she's going to get the husband to force her to give a get. In other words, she's going to hire a Nachri to force her husband to give a get. And because we don't want that to happen, that people, women should start doing that, and they, when, and specifically in a case where she's not obligated to get a get, then the halacha is that it's not a valid, that they invalidated such a get. So the question that comes up is that what we're learning now is that the midaraisa, it's really a good get. Chazal, because of this concern, invalidated it. So how could a get which is valid midaraisa be invalidated by the Rabbanim? So the Rishonim answer that any kfiya that's done by a Nachri is not considered a valid kfiya. And the way I understand what the Rishonim mean to say is that when a Bezdin forces somebody to do what he's supposed to do, so what they're really doing, as we're learning in our shir, what they're really doing is they're bringing out that the person should do what the halacha requires. And therefore, that kfiya is recognized as a valid kfiya. Whereas, if somebody is forced to do something that they have no right to have an opinion in the matter, that kfiya is not the kfiya that brings out the person's real desire. And therefore, it's not considered a valid get. So this opened up a very important question. Can one use legal authorities to force somebody to give a get? This is not a new question. There was a situation where the Bezdin wanted, a couple got married. The government was very dissatisfied with this person, and they demanded that this person should get divorced. When the husband came to Bezdin, Bezdin asked this person, why are you divorcing your wife? And he said, I'm divorcing my wife because I'm under pressure from the government. And the Rabbi Yitzchak Charan discusses this question in Shal Sechuvas Be'er Yitzchak Evan Ezra Simen Yud. And he says what happened was that this husband disappeared for a while, and then he reappeared, and Bezdin again began the conversation. And the question that was asked again to him, why are you getting divorced? And he said, because I want to divorce my wife. The Dayanim were ever concerned that he really didn't mean it, and that the only reason he said it was because he was under the government pressure, which we're learning now is not a valid get. And the Rabbanim of the city, was the city of Hordana, wrote to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan if they could write a get. He says that since we have a din of dina and mechusa dina, and the husband is really obligated to do what the government says, so the way I understand what he means to say is that really midaraisa, that should be considered a valid get. Our Gemara has introduced new concerns. So therefore, he suggests, as long as the husband at this point is saying, I'm divorcing my wife from free will, it's going to be considered a valid get. The Miches Yitzchak also discussed that there was a place that they wanted to make a rule that any husband who divorces his wife civilly has to also give her a halachic get. And if he won't, he'll be fined. And again, the purpose of that rule was a very positive rule because women should chas v'shalom not become agunas. And he speaks about the validity of such a rule and the validity of such a get. And the Mechaz Yitzchak says that that get is considered a get mosa. He's giving the get because of the of Beis Din taking the strong position on him. What he says that the way the law should be written is not that when the civil divorce is given, they should demand a halakhic get, and if not, fine him. The way it should do is that if somebody comes to court for civil divorce, they should tell him, we will not be able to grant you the civil divorce unless you have first a halakhic get. So at that point, they're not forcing him to give the get. He's giving the get, and therefore it's on his own, and therefore he says that such a get would be a valid get. Again, we're learning in our Gemara something that's done under duress. When is it considered valid? When is it not? And the Chalkas Yaakov discusses a situation where there's a person who's not religious, but he's being forced to sell his chametz because he knows that if he won't sell his chametz, then nobody's going to come shop in his store after Pesach, and because it's chametz shavah over Pesach. And I'm not going into the issue, well, what happens if he keeps the store open after he sold the chametz? Let's speak about a situation where a person sold the chametz, but he's not really anxious to sell the chametz, and the only reason he sold the chametz is because he was forced into such a situation because of business realities that he's selling in a Jewish neighborhood and no Jew is going to buy chametz shalva Pesach. And the question that the Chalkas Yaakov discusses, is that considered a valid sale or not? And the Chalkas Yaakov's opinion is that it's considered a valid sale. His opinion is that it's considered a valid sale based on what we're learning in our shir today. The Taluy of Azovin, even if somebody does something under duress, Taluy of Azovin, Zvina, Zvina. Ask the Gemara, Maaser Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna asked the following question. If a lokach misakrikin, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, if somebody bought a property from somebody who's a goy, Akum, who's a Ritzayach, and then he goes and buys the property from the owner of the property. The loch is mechabatel. Amai. So yes, maybe this person didn't really want to sell the property, but why don't we say, Hasam Nami Neima, Agav Unse, Gomra Makni. Once he sells, the sale should be a valid sale. Answers the Gemara Ha'itma law. Amarav, Loishan Ado Amalei Lech Chazek V'Kani. The Mishnah is speaking about a case, go take this property. So there we could assume that the only reason the Yisrael is agreeing to the sale because he's scared of the Sekrikin. Avol, in the case Shtar, where there was a proper document written, even though he's not happy about it, the halach is that it's actually a Kenyan. Ask the Gemara, and says the Gemara, well, Shmuel Dama, Af Shtar, Nami Lekana, that even if there was a Shtar written, why not? Michael Maimer says the Gemara, even Shmuel that says that the shtar alone is inadequate, Moide Shmuel Hech Diyav Zuzi. Shmuel will agree that if somebody paid, then the sale is valid. But ask the Gemara, Ulur Bibi de Messaimba, Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Karka Eloi, that if somebody stole property, we learned this in our previous year, if somebody stole property and the Gazlan brings a shtar or Edim, it's not considered a valid raya, Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Karka Eloi. The Gazlan is not entitled to keep the Karka. Mos, but the money that he paid, Yeshlo, he's entitled to get back. But why? If money was given, we're learning now that once money is given, it's considered a valid sale, Mayakal Amema. Answered the Gemara, Rabibi, what Rabibi said in the name of Rav Nachman, Memruhu, is something that he taught us from the Amoraim. Remember, Rav Huna, Rav Shvirle, Rav Huna is disagreeing. And according to Rav Huna, since he's learning, and we're going to learn that that's the halacha, the Taluy of Zav and Zvina is Zvina. The halacha is that if money was exchanged, even if it was done under duress, the halacha is it's considered a valid sale. And Amar Rava, and Rava teaches us, the halacha is, Taluy of Zav, and if somebody sold something under pressure, Zvina is Zvina. However, when was this said? Besod the stam. If they said, they didn't designate a specific field. So then we say that certainly the person who sold the field meant to give a field that's a very poor quality and will accept the sale to be a valid sale. Aval sodazu, if he was forced to sell a specific field, then the sale was not considered a valid sale. And we're going to say that the person did it under duress and it's not valid. But and says the Gemara furthermore, Besada zu namilei amaran el delay artsi zuzi. If he didn't count the money he received. Person usually when he sells something gets paid, he counts the money. Aval artsi zuzi, if he counted the money, the fact that he counted the money shows that even though he wasn't happy about this, the halacha is it's still going to be considered a valid sale. Furthermore, if the person who was being forced to sell had no way of getting out of the deal, if he had a way of getting out of the deal and he still did the deal, loy, it's a proof that the sale is a sale. And says the Gemara, but says the Gemara, we don't agree to any of these exceptions. In all situations, the sale is going to be considered a valid sale. Afilu b'sodazu, even a situation where he was forced to sell a specific property, still, if he sold it and got paid for it, the sale is a valid sale. But ask the Gemara, proves the Gemara. Da'isha, we speak about a woman getting married. You marry a specific woman. And Omar Mar, Tuloy Vakiddush, if somebody forces a woman to marry him and she agrees to marry him, Kiddush of Kiddushin, then the Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin. And we see, and the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, a Kiddushin is similar to a Mechira. We know that the first Mishnah, Masechta Kiddushin, says, He Shenikness. So we see that it can be done under duress, says the Gemara. Ma'bar Ravashi Amar, Isha Vada Kedushin Lehava. Even though we're learning in our shir that a sale that's done under pressure is a sale, a woman that was Niskadish that way, it's not a Kedushin. Who also Shloika Hagen? And the Gemara says, why? Because he did something improper. You're not supposed to marry a woman against her will. Lefikach also Ima Shloika Hagen. So Chazal treat him that way, the Fkinu Rabbanu Kedushin Minei, and they invalidate the Kedushin. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina, the Ravashi, Tenech the Kodesh Bekaspa. If you did Kedushin Kesef, so the way most Rishonim explain, that's the way the Rajbam explained, the first Pshat, that we know Hefker Bezdin Hefker. And because Hefker Bezdin Hefker, somebody Bezdin could say that that money that you use to be Mekadosh the woman is not your money. And therefore, we know that Kedushin is something that the Kedushin has to use money that belongs to you. So, Tenech the Kodesh Bekaspa. We could understand if there was a Kedushin with Kesef, Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The other pshat that the Rajbam suggests is if there was a Kedushin with Kesef, it's only Kedushin the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon could say, we don't validate this Kedushin. The Kaddish Bibiya, if somebody did Kedushin Bibiya, Ma'ikal Meimer, how will we understand? How could the Rabbanon invalidate the Kedushin? The act of Bia makes it into Kedushin. Amalei, says the Gemara, Shavi Rabbanon Labilasu Bilaznos. And the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara is that when somebody gets married, he says, Hare At Mekudeshes Li, Kedas Moshev Yisrael. By saying Hare At Mekudeshes Li, Kedas Moshev Yisrael, What he's saying is that I am following the rules that the Rabbanan set forth. And if the Rabbanan say that this is not a valid Kedushin, then my Kedushin becomes, invalidated. And I saw that the Sefer Yechi Yosef explains that that's why Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to break the Luchas. And what happens by breaking the Luchas is that he's undoing the Kedushin that happened between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by undoing the Kedushin that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that's how he lessened the Avera that they do. And that's why he felt the need to break the Luchas. Our Gemara just spoke about the concept of who asa kohen. If somebody did what's right, then he's treated right. And if somebody does what's not right, the halacha is, if he doesn't do what's right, then he should not be treated right. And there's a question that the Chashuk Yechemah discusses where somebody married a girl, and the girl under the chuppah realized that the husband has a limp, or he has some other type of physical issue, and she didn't want to have the Kedushin, but her father tells her, get married. And they get married, and now, after they already they got married, she still doesn't want to live with him. And the question is that, how do we look at that Kedushin? And he discusses that a strong argument can be made that who also shleika hagen, that this husband did not act properly by not disclosing his issue. So the question really depends that if she could honestly say she didn't know that he had this issue, then it's one situation. But if she can't honestly say that she had this issue, that's one point to consider. The other point to consider is, as we're learning in our shiur today, nobody wants to have a bilas nus. And if it turns out that they weren't married and they consummated the marriage, so we have a very serious problem. And therefore, the halacha lechatchila is that if at all possible, they should get divorced. And if she doesn't want to be married to him, she can't be forced to stay married to him, but they should get a get.